Responsive reading number 47 is entitled Christian Discipleship. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life.
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us pray. In the quiet holiness of these moments, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity to worship together, to think upon things eternal, to feel Thee near, and to respond to Thy presence. We ask that we might have keener insight and deeper understanding of discipleship, so that as we learn, we might appropriately apply what we learn during the living of our lives in these days for the cause of Christ, in whose name and for whose sake we offer our prayer. Amen. The last time I led a chapel service, I spoke on one of the disciples and introduced the concept of sort of a hobby, I suppose, of studying the personalities that surrounded our Lord, trying to find out what the Scripture says about these men, what their names mean, how many times they're mentioned in the Scripture, and insofar as possible, to try to ascertain how they died. I shared one such meditation last year in chapel. And there were some after the service who said that they would hope that I might share from some others of these meditations. Now let me interpret that for you. I think there were three people who said that. When you're preparing to make a chapel talk, it doesn't take much encouragement, you see. I have been known, the two times that I was asked to repeat a sermon when I was a pastor, to do it when only one person asked. So this morning, in our worshiping together, I want to share with you another of these meditations, focusing this morning specifically on Bartholomew. the cynic. I should like to read a brief passage from the first chapter of John, reading verses 45 through 51. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because unto thee I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. After Philip had accepted Jesus, he immediately went to Nathanael, in other references called Bartholomew, to bring him to Jesus. This man, Bartholomew, who in this passage is called Nathanael, was skeptical of Philip's belief in the Messiahship of Jesus because of what could very adroitly be called town jealousy. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? However, Bartholomew yielded himself quickly to Jesus. He was a man of keen intellect and well worth winning. He was a man of noble, according to this passage that I've read from John. For Jesus called him an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. The name Bartholomew is from a great witness. His full name was probably Nathanael Bartholomew. Bartholomew is named four times in the New Testament, and Nathanael is named six times. He's called Bartholomew four times, once each by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and again in Luke, in the Acts. Each time in a list of the disciples. He is called Nathanael six times by John, five times in the passage that I've just read, and again in the 21st chapter in the second verse, he's referred to as Nathanael. As I have studied the lives of these men for the last 14 or 15 years, in each such study, I've been impressed by how much like these men we are. This morning I'd like to share some brief observations that I've made, particularly as I've looked at Bartholomew. The first is this: the world sees only the outside of us. They saw Bartholomew as a cynic, as a scoffer. The messages that I've heard about this individual, and most of those that I've read, have pictured him thusly, as one who was cynically rude
and as one who was abashedly the scoffer. But I'm not quite so sure, at least in my own interpretation, that the man was quite that way. The world, even now, perhaps more so now, likes to study, to picture, to talk about the evil, for example. When you can, glance over the front page of the paper that you take daily, today's paper, any paper, and look at our news stories. There is this seemingly innate interest on our part to focus on that which is negative and that which is bad. And I can understand a lot of psychological reasons for our having done that, and I also can justify what the journalists are doing in making this front page news, because they're in business to sell newspapers. But the point is that the world can only see what's on the outside of us. When I'm sitting with someone privately and I ask them about their insights, I still realize that insight can't be forced. And I still realize that insight is a two-stage proposition. For most of us, intellectual insight comes easy, because our intellects will permit us to reason and see cause and effect. Emotional insight is something else indeed, because we protect ourselves so carefully. When we come right down to the consideration of emotional insight and admitting the real reasons that we do and say and feel these expressions, no one save God knows our real potential, because we tend to look only on the outside. Bartholomew said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And yet, there came along that way that day as he sat under that fig tree the one named Jesus, in fact, the Christ. And then, as now, Jesus sees the potential. He doesn't see the facade only. He sees the person we can become, committed into the hands of God and trusting. In the cynicism of Bartholomew, Jesus saw the raw material for the disciple. I think there was something else that Jesus saw there. I think that apparently Jesus must have seen the transparent sincerity and honesty in that man. Then you have to be on the inside to see, don't you? If you and I were somewhere private right at this moment, and I ask you, do you understand the real reasons for your behavior? Do you know why, emotionally, you do the things you do and say the things you say and feel the emotions that you feel? Or would it be a matter of our getting to know each other well enough for you to do that by your rationalizing with me and trying to give me a list of the fancy made-up reasons that we try to convince each other are the reasons for what we do,
rather than the real reasons deep down inside that we know, but seldom, if ever, are willing to confess.
Jesus came along that way, and he saw this transparent sincerity and this honesty. This man who was approached by Philip and told about Jesus having been found, and Philip identified him as coming from Nazareth. Bartholomew was honest with what he really felt. The point is, Jesus sees our potential. Not just that is outward, that is visible, but that real person. That deeper self, that honest, sincere individual. There's a third thing here that I wanted us to look at in this meditation, and that is the brutal fact of life that sometimes the sky gets dark. Bartholomew hailed Jesus as the Son of God, the King of Israel. And then the day came that they nailed Bartholomew's teacher to a tree. Lives today are sometimes shattered by cold, stark realism. And then faith. Basic faith becomes the hub of our only hope. There are those of you sitting there who have experienced dark skies and into whose lives have come tragedies and catastrophes, and because you are honest and because you are real, you had feelings about those things that, at least in some cases, I remember, you did not deny those feelings. And I applaud you for that. Because when the sky does get dark, as Bartholomew's sky darkened, and as surely as we live, there will come clouds into our lives. And it becomes the application of faith as hope. The modern world is full of cynics and scoffers. Few times in recorded history has the church been under such fire from without, and more appropriately, from within. And there are those who speak fatalistically. And I hope what I'm saying this morning is not being taken in a vein of pessimism or fatalism. I would rather call it realism. Because just as in the life of Bartholomew, as he related in this acknowledgement to Jesus, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel," now is a time for this sort of commitment in discipleship.
The biblical record does not tell us how Bartholomew died. There is a very old legend that says that after the ascension of our Lord, Bartholomew went, as the disciples became apostles, envoys of truth, to Armenia, eventually coming to the place called Albanopolis, where he gave his witness, where he learned, according to this legend, the cost, the true cost, in his life of discipleship. The legend continues that Bartholomew died a martyr when, under the command of a barbarous king, he was flayed alive with very sharp knives. That interested me, so I checked out flaying. And the barbaric process was, while a man yet lived, to peel strips of skin from his body, skinning him alive. It cost Bartholomew something to be a disciple, learner, apostle, envoy. I wonder if, whatever it costs us, we will be willing to pay the price. Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, the King of Israel. May we stand together. Lord, send us anywhere in the world that thou wouldst have us go. Only go with us. Place upon us any burden that thou wouldst have us carry. Only sustain us by thy strength. Sever all the ties that bind us, save the one that binds us to thee. Forgive what we have been. Correct what we are and order what we shall become through Jesus Christ, our Lord.